The book of Mark, chapter number 17. Amen. Amen. Okay, sorry. I am finding it from the wrong chapter. Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. I read the story of a woman who prayed to the Lord, who sought the Lord, and God gave her a miracle. But I just need a phrase Jesus used to describe what I believe is in the heart of God for this morning. I want you to know that God has preferences. God has priorities. And part of the things that God, I consider as God's priority is what I want to describe. And you have found in it. You have found in it priorities if you have come to know the Lord Jesus. So we'll read that scripture, Mark chapter number 7. If the media can help, we can read from verse 20. I will read from here for the want of time so that we can get the job done quickly this morning. You know, it's just interesting that the Lord is saying to me that he's healing somebody's skin. That's it's interesting. Skin. It touches the skin. And each time I want to speak, I keep seeing the healing anointing come on the skin. So if it starts from the skin, then healings will be available in this meeting in the name of Jesus. Okay, Mark chapter number 7. Let's come to verse 20. Okay, let's go further to verse 21. I want to find precision in the reading first. 21. 22. I want a comfortable place to describe the story. Okay, 25 is good, right? The story of the Syrophoenician woman. What verse does it start from? It starts from 25. Okay, let's come from 25. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Verse 26, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. Now, we need to understand the context of this story in the light of that generation. Everyone that had covenant with God in this very season had covenant with God on the basis of their nationality. If you are not born in Israel, you have no covenant with God. And sad enough, but that's was the reality of that period. So, but the woman, I didn't know where she got her boldness from. She came straight to Jesus, even though knowing fully well that she was not in the covenant. Came to Jesus and knew that Jesus had what it takes to deal with the situation she was battling it with in her life. The woman was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him. She kept praying to him. She kept pressing, asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She knew the possibility exists because the power is domiciled in the Savior. But Jesus said to her,
And this is the phrase I really need. Let the children be filled first. That's the phrase I want. If there's anything I want you to capture in this service, it's let the children be filled first. I hope every child of God understands this, that God's priority is on the children. Let the children be filled first. Another translation says, let the children be satisfied. That's to tell you that that's to tell you that Jesus was actually saying that I will be here for everyone, but there is a program. And in that program, we have priorities, even preferences. I'm preaching to you in this context because it looks to me as if the children are not aware. Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good, it's not proper to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, the little dogs. Now, somebody said Jesus was using abusive words. Now, it's metaphoric. In Jewish description, dogs refer to those who are outside the covenant. That's one of the ways they refer to them. Now, in the house, especially in African context, not Oyinbo context, okay? Because if I use that in the Western world context, and I say dogs live outside, you will fall to me. But from where I'm coming from, the outside ones, part of the dogs belongs to the order of the outside. I'm a dog lover. I'm a pet lover. And I grew up loving dogs all my life. Right now, I have about 5 of them rejoicing with me every day. In fact, I remember when we were waiting to have a baby and I didn't. It was not forthcoming. Somebody had to come to me and said, I hope dogs are not replacing, are not taking the place of children in your life. Yes, somebody challenged me. He said, maybe we should consider this thing spiritually. Maybe. I said, your concept is not working. My dogs will not go. I'm just bringing a perspective so that it won't be that your heart is already connecting to your pets. So after that, I even adopted another dog. Yes. But in the real context of the scripture we are preaching from, dogs are outside. And what Jesus was implying with that statement was that anyone that is not in the commonwealth of Israel is not in covenant with God. And so it's not seen as a child. Now, God faith is very dynamic. And one of the things that faith hinges on is principles. And so the woman said, all right, accepted. But dogs survive. Something keeps the dogs living. If there is no supply, all the dogs will be dead. So the woman said, at least in the process of feeding the children, dogs get supplies. Oh, and Jesus looked at that and said, this woman is right. And do I explain this to you? Peradventure, all who are outside, whatever they are enjoying, is a spill of what God prepared for the children. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That God says they must survive, but the table is for children. Now, imagine some who are outside who are doing very well And all that is making them do that well is a spill. What is wrong with the children?
You don't get this. I remember when we were nursing my boy, we had someone that was assistant to his mom. And so the boy doesn't eat. So I it's a prayer point. I pray, even till now I'm still praying it. God, let him eat. Let him eat my money. I've never seen a boy that doesn't like chocolate and ice cream. Take it. Take everything. I want to buy. He said, no, don't worry, daddy. Don't worry. When the boy was small, I would bring all the provisions. And as soon as they pull the ice cream, and the boy would just turn over. And the mother would say, I forgot the name of that girl. Say, please, do you like to take it? The girl said, yes, I like to take it. The girl was feeding fat on the supply I brought. When the children say no to the table, the spill will be more for the dogs. So God is saying to you that I have provision for the whole earth, for everyone, but the children first. So if you see anybody who is not yet a child, what is feeding on is the spill over, is the crumbs. And if some people feed on the crumbs, and I don't want to mention name, and they are that fat, I'm only calling your attention to the level of commitment God has towards his children. That being a child of God makes you a joint heir, even with Jesus. That everything God has given to the Lord Jesus also belongs to you. The Bible said, give me verse 28 again, and I will read verse 29. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumb. And verse 29, then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. The fact that you understand this, let me tell you something. Understanding opens the door of heaven's supply. If only the children also can understand that that they are God's priority, the door of heaven's supply opens directly to them. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God. The order of life God has called us to live is such that before you were born, all that is required for life and godliness came before you. Was made available before you. And may the Lord begin to open our eyes to understand that we are not just trying to coerce God into helping us, that we are actually walking in the supply that belongs to children. If we have given our life to Jesus and we have that witness that the Spirit bears in our hearts, that we are sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to take advantage of that understanding.
When Jesus was going to teach the disciples to pray, it was a shift from the old order, the order of the days of Moses and Elijah and all the great men of the Old Testament, was with a sense of servitude. They related more with God as creator. But when Jesus was going to begin to teach his disciples on how to relate with God, especially in prayer, he said, this is how you will pray, our Father who art in heaven. It's a big deal to know the way you need to know that God is your Father.
I've been in situations where I've been mistaken to be somebody else's son, and the privileges that accompanied it. Let me tell you a story. Several years ago, I was going to visit Israel for the first time. And I required from government sponsorship. And I got the best of the privilege that anyone in my country will get to go to Israel. I got the presidential slot. So it was really on my mind. Hey, going to Israel from in the company of the who is who in my country. And as I was going to plan the trip, it was interrupted by another conference from the same quarters. So they said I should join a conference to represent for human security. It was somewhere in Malaga, Spain. I was so sad because I was looking at the opportunity of traveling with a company of the cream of people to Israel. So I told the president, I said, sir, this Israel thing is going. He said, no, it can't go anywhere. When you get there, you connect a flight from Turkey. Somebody would say, I said, they must have finished. He said, you go your own. Ah. I said, the group on us. He said, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. Hey. And when I got there, they had already informed our diplomats there that I was coming. So when I got there, they just assumed that I was the son of the president. So I tested a bit of what it feels. So I remember people I was appointed a soldier, Itama. I won't forget the name of the soldier appointed to. I had a driver, I had a pigeon, and a guide that was following me around. They asked me to draw my own schedule. And they kept me in an hotel. When I got to that hotel, I called my wife. I said, see, this word is not in my, I wanted to, no, it's only my dialect that can explain it. That ayepe meji. The world is, there are two types of what. When I got to the hotel, even the way I was talking changed. I said, my God. I sat down, I called my wife. I said, wow, I'm somewhere. They said, where is this? Ah. I said, where I am? Do you know, the things I will never do, I started doing it. I'm always in a hurry to get out of it. I sat back in the room, me that I came to pray and study. I first went to sit inside the jacuzzi. Then I began to throw all those fragrance that was set there. I threw it there. I said, eh? Something I've never done in my life. So whenever I come outside, they will point to me and say, that's the son of Nigeria president. I was only scared they would ask for my surname because they just naturally believed, because the man was the one that sent me.
I should be his son. I must be his son. Everybody was, sir. When I got to the Nigerian office, oh my God. Sir, you're welcome, sir. Son of president. Now imagine being the son of the one who says, silver and gold is mine. I own the thousands of cattle upon thousands of years. Who says, the earth is mine, the fullness thereof, the world and all that is in it. I enjoyed the privilege of being called the son of a president just for a few days. And I feel it should not be taken away from me forever. Because the natural me will say, no, I'm not the son of the president. I only know him. But they were calling me the son of the president. I did as if I didn't hear. Because it's good feeling. I came here to preach you to understand your place in God. I came here to remind you that this thing we call sonship, it's not just a religious title. It's a reality. I came here to remind you that his eyes are upon you. That when I cry, I don't cry as a slave. Cry as a son. I cry as a son. You know, one of the ways God have judged me well in terms of relationship is my relationship with my son. That boy was growing up believing in me in a way that I had to ask myself, if it's me, this guy is believing in him. Because if he really knows me, he won't believe that much. I remember we got to Dubai someday with him. And my friend who happens to be a very highly placed person, one of the big oil companies, just brought in his latest Range Rover. And he said, let's just drive out. And when we finished driving, he came out. He said, Daddy, you know, before we get back home, just order that thing. I said, oh, that's all right, that's all right. I didn't want to tell him that. I hope you, do you understand that your father's pocket is not as? Because that guy, one day he told me, when will you buy a jet? I said, yes. He says things that makes me want to, That's one side. There was another side where in the car and the cop came and said, please, can you pull over? And I pulled over. He said, you better go. My daddy will kick you. I looked at the boy and said, hey, this guy. Another side is, there was a time lactose intolerance and all that was allergies that we were battling with. Then they said, how will you be able to convince your son not to take milk, anything that has lactose and all? I said, it's not difficult. My wife said, there is nothing this guy tells him he will not do. Me. That as soon as it's his father talking to him, he will just take. If you want to give him bitter pills and he's refusing, it's not tasty. When I come and say, this thing is nice, he will say, yes, it's nice. He will take it and start smiling. To the extent that God asks me, can you relate with me like this boy is relating with you? God said, you that you don't have anything, your boy believes that much. There's nothing your boy doesn't feel you can acquire. I have everything. Why do you doubt? I am your father. I have everything. You still doubt. The bad thing is that even when he has shown us how great he is, the next bus stop will complain.
you would have forgotten that he sorted things out not too long ago. We'll start. I came to preach you to come back into his level of confidence of his fatherhood. Because this July, he will show himself as father. Yeah. How many of you believe that prophetic word? Amen. The Lord says to tell you, for as many that have accepted me, I want to reintroduce my fatherhood to them. The biggest concept in the New Testament is fatherhood. The only reason, are you here, God's people? The only reason why they couldn't accept Jesus as the Messiah was what? Because first, he called God his father. How? They couldn't. You can call yourself a prophet. Yes, we have seen Abraham, we have seen Moses, but you came. I said, God is your father. That's what I brought to us today. The biggest understanding God wants you to carry is a working relationship of son, father that is in you. Sonship and father. In John chapter number 5, give me John chapter number 5, please, quickly. Let's read 2-3 verses before we begin to pray to our Father. Because I want you to pray with a different consciousness today. Fatherhood is the bane of our intimacy. I remember one evening and I was in the shower and my boy bumped into the shower and the mom said, don't you. I said, leave him. It's my son. He said, don't teach this guy nonsense. If I'm betting if he comes, I will deal with him. I said, that's you. It's motherhood. My own is fatherhood. Let him in. There's no mean limitation in intimacy. Yes, you can come in. No matter how well you serve me, there are people who serve me more than my son, who invest their time and resources in serving me. They have limits they can get to in my life. Yes, it's not everywhere they can enter, but there is deep access given when you know him as a father. You know, I told people, Jesus didn't say I'm the only way to God. He didn't. I was telling one of these guys, I've forgotten his, these guys that do, that read a brochure, in the light of truth, yeah, Grail Message, that's their religion. And you know, they're very, very educated. If you don't know scriptures, they will floor you. So, you know, used to deal with pastors. Pastors used to run away from me. So one day they said, come and talk to our pastor. When he was talking to him, he said, you see, how can you say the only way to God is Jesus? It's stupid. You know, I can even tell you that before Jesus, people saw God. I said, yes. Oh, you agree with me? You are the first pastor that will agree with me. I said, yes, I do. I said, Jesus had not come. Abraham saw God. Didn't he see God? Yes. I said, yes, you are very correct. I said, why are you are the only pastor I want to believe. Because all those pastors, they don't know even their Bible. Because Jesus is not the only way to God. I said, very correct. Not the only way to God. I said, so, no need to argue. I said, but I'll take you further. That Jesus himself did not say, I'm the only way to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. And until you meet God as the Father, you have not met the true God. Some people call him Eledumare. Some people call him Creator. Yes, he is. He's the God of all flesh. You can call him many names, but there is only one way to know him truly as God. And it will be effective for salvation. It will be effective for true life. And it is when you know him as who? Are you here, God's people? So it was done for that. He said, oh, I never seen it from that. I said, that is it. I said, I'm not struggling that Abrushin is saying he knows the one who made mango. Because he says nature can reveal him. Yes, of course. But you don't know him enough. I said, look, people can know me as a lawyer, but they won't know me enough until they know me as their daddy. You can know God from different acts of creation. If you don't come through the doorway of fatherhood, you can't know him fully. And let me tell you, I told him, I said, fatherhood means progenitor. You can't carry a DNA, no matter how familiar you are, except you are a child. The difference between us and other religion is because we are the bearer of the DNA. We know him as Father. The dynamics of fatherhood is what actually transfers the real life to a man. So Jesus said to them in John chapter 17, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. The only way to know the true God is to know his fatherhood. He said, this is eternal life. You can't carry the DNA. Life is not without the DNA. You can't carry the real life except you know him as Father. And I said, at this level, you won't be able to argue with me again, Mr. Abrushin. You know why? Because your eyes, ordinary eyes, cannot see it. It's spiritually transmitted. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans chapter number 8, verse 14. The Spirit, 14 to 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So, my Islamic brothers believe in Abraham. But that's where they stopped. By the time you get to John chapter number 5, verse 17, you see the Judaism religion ending. That's where they stopped. They will agree. When they get to that point, then there will be a problem. Give me John chapter number 17 quickly before we pray. I want to give you some light, then you will pray. You will pray. And you will meet supplies from the Father this week. In the name of Jesus. It's not a reluctant God. It's your Father. You are going to walk in this month with a true sense of intimacy with a Father. That's why it's on that ground you find him forgiving. All right, give me verse number 17 of John chapter John chapter number 5. Quickly. I want to, for the want of time, please, can you help us quickly? Because I want us to have at least some 20 minutes or 10 minutes of praying now. All right? Are we together? Okay. John chapter number 5 verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. My Father has been working until now. You know, if he healed a man with paralysis, and everybody said he broke the Sabbath. That's bad. He's breaking the laws. They challenged him. I said, "What? I see the Father doing it. That's why I did it." And they said, this one is not, healing is not even the problem. The Sabbath breaking is not even the problem. This one is more sacrilegious. This one is an abomination. And he said in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father. And the day when he brought salvation, it was a taboo for anybody to call God Father. But he called God his Father, thereby making himself. Because Jews understand that there is a strong leverage on father-son relationship. They know that all that belongs to Father belongs to the Son. So they know that if you call God your Father, it means you have absolute access. That to them sounds unbelievable. It was on that ground that they couldn't go further in their understanding of what Jesus was preaching. Now, today it has become a common word that we agree to it, but we don't believe in the tune and the spirit of the fatherhood that God offers to us. The fatherhood is the basis of the life. Oh my God. It's the basis of the life. Oh yeah. The basis of the life that I live. I do not live an ordinary life again. This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God. And how do you know him? You know him as a father. And it's a mystery. We want to get on your feet. This beautiful morning. This month of May, the seventh month. May the light come to your heart again that you have a Father in heaven. And you know it's beautiful when Jesus told the disciple. He said, don't say it's just my own Father. When you pray, say, our Father. Do you belong to the company of sons? He said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Say, our Father who art in heaven. In Romans, let me close with this. In Romans chapter number 8, in Romans chapter number 8, verse 14 and 15, please help me with 14 and 15 as I ask the people to pray. And if you want to accept him as Lord and Savior, that's the door to coming into sonship and seeing him as a father. I will just give you a short invitation, and we're going to pray this morning. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Let me tell you, when you are not a son, there's a permanent experience of what we call the spirit of bondage, which expresses itself in fear. He said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Another translation says, the spirit of sonship, by whom we cry out. The first expression of sonship is a urge to cry to him anywhere, anyhow. You don't have to use religious language. When you understand that you are his son, there are times your crying out to him is in very ordinary language. You know, some of you, you want to shape yourself with very religious language to talk to God. Father, for thou art near, and I, thy son, I come it in the name that you gave it. No, when it's your father, oh my God, the connection is deeper than language. The first sign is that anytime anything is near touching you, you can cry. You can cry, Abba, Father. You can cry, Abba. Lift your hand up, say, Father, I thank you, because you have given me a sound in my soul to call you anytime. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Lift your hand up. Say, my name is Ayodeji. I am a child of God. I have an inheritance in God. I have the life of God in me. I have the same spirit with my Father. I have that privilege. By the blood of Jesus, I am made a son. I come boldly to him. He is my Father. I can say together with the saints, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Express yourself if you see him as a father. Lift your voice to him if you see him as a father. I give you a few minutes to express yourself. Few seconds to express yourself. He's our Father. He's our Father. Allah borafasiya katena mosulai kateskopala yanai.